think anytime I miss a Sunday here, it just kind of feels weird, a little off. So I'm glad to be back here with you guys. I trust that your weeks have been good. We just got back from a mission trip to a place in Virginia, in the Appalachian area. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as I begin to speak. But we're going to continue on today in the book of James. Where we last left off, we remember the word of God spoken through this book that told us the command: be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We all talked about how hard that is. We all talked about how impossible that is apart from the grace of God that can change us. Apart from a relationship with the one who knows our hearts, whose grace is sufficient for us. We've been learning that as James tells us that these are things we must be doing and how we must be living as believers of Jesus Christ. He reminds us that it's not just about the external doing, but what God is doing in your heart and how you are responding to his word, to his gospel message, to his truth. And today, we're going to be challenged even more so, going with this idea of what does it mean to truly listen to God? What does it mean to truly allow for his word to impact us so that we can live as those who are blessed in doing? So turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 22 through 25. You can find it on the slides. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. And this is the word of God. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, would you be with us together this morning as we come to worship you, as we worship you through praise, now with humble hearts, lead us, draw us into worship through your word. Speak to those here who need this word, this timely word. Open up hearts and minds, humble everyone in this place, myself included, so that we would not just sit and hear some message being spoken, but that we would hear your voice speaking directly into our hearts, so that we would be convicted and challenged to change, but encouraged that, God, you are the one who gives us the power to change. It is you who is changing us from the inside out, through your word, through your love. So be with me as I preach your word. God, would I just humble me, Lord, that I would be a channel that speaks your love and grace. Thank you, God, for the privilege to preach your word. Be with us as a church and as your people. In your name we pray. Amen. So, as Eric mentioned, and as I mentioned as well, you know, several families and church members of our church were on a mission trip this previous week. And, you know, for me, it was truly a blessing time to see not only families from our church serving the Lord together, but also just our church family together serving. And, you know, it was a family mission trip. So, you know, we had the littlest guy, 5-year-old Zachary, who was also, you know, doing all the different activities alongside us, helping paint and, you know, pack things and shelve things and just seeing everyone work together for the Lord was such an awesome blessing to me. And it made me really even more thankful that God has called me here to this church to be a pastor. And it was just, for me, it was just such a great experience, and God reminding me of his goodness. But not only that, you know, there were actually other families from around the U.S., a few more families who also joined as part of this mission trip. And, you know, one of the things that many of them came up to me afterwards, and perhaps even with our team of shared, is what a blessing our church team was to them and how we served the Lord, how we did our best, how we tried to keep our focus on the God that we were there to serve on the mission trip. And so it was just a very encouraging time for me. And again, I was just so thankful for our church. And even for those of us here who did not go on the trip, who went with us in prayer, we thank you so much for being a part of our mission trip, praying for cool weather. As Eric was sharing, I think you guys prayed very hard because it went beyond cool on some of the nights. But God is good. God is so good. And we were able to do so many things outwardly. You know, that's what relates to this text today. We were being doers of the word. But the one thing that we stressed, even in the training sessions that we had leading up to the trip, is that we don't want to be merely doers of the word. That has to come from somewhere inside. And that's what God wants of us. And that's what this passage is actually talking about. Now, you may have heard this question in the world. You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? And essentially what this question is asking is, can you live out what you profess? What you say you believe in, when it comes down to how you are living your life, can you actually walk the walk? And this is a question that I believe all of us here as believers must consider. How easy is it to say, especially in a church setting or a small group setting, I want to live for God. God is my priority. My faith is my priority. The Word is my priority. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. It's actually quite easy to talk that kind of talk. But the challenge is, do those words hold weight in every moment of your life? When you leave these church doors, does the gospel affect you? Does the word impact your decision making? Are you a different person here than you are out there? James says, don't just hear the word, do the word. He says, be blessed in doing, because that is what we have been called to do as believers of Jesus Christ. And I believe that God wants to bless us, and he wants to grow us, and he wants to mature us in our faith, but that requires a reaction, a response to the word that he graciously gives to us. And I want for our church to be filled with doers of the word of God, but not just externally, but doers of the word of God, because we believe that the word of God is what he has given to us as his people. That as he's changing our hearts to be more like him, that we will live to do what he asks of us and to do what the word of God says. So what we're going to do today actually is we're going to look at two separate groups of people. One group being those who are only hearers, those who hear the word only. And then we're going to look at those who hear the word and then do the word. So let's go ahead and take a look at those who hear the word only. This is the word of God again in verse 22. This is what it says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, I don't know anyone here who would intentionally deceive themselves. Like, oh, I'm going to trick myself. I'm going to lie to myself to make me believe something I know that's not true. No one in their right mind or even in their right heart goes out to do this, to deceive themselves. So what is James talking about here? He's saying there is a deception that is going on amongst the people who profess faith in Jesus Christ. There is a deception that is going on within the hearts of these people. Brothers in Christ, proclaiming that they live for the Lord, Jesus Christ, that they believe that he is their Savior. There's some kind of deception, deceiving of themselves that is going on. And that deception is that those who hear the word, but they do not do the word. It's like right now. Every Sunday you hear the word. Hopefully you're challenged. Hopefully you're encouraged. But if you step outside of these doors and you go back to being the same person that you were before, there's no effort. Yes, God's grace is real, but there is effort that is required for you to make active decisions to respond to the word of God. So you deceive yourselves if you say, yes, I'm living for the Lord. Yes, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. But there is no actual response to the word of God in the way that you live your life. One example of this kind of hearing but not doing is in Mark chapter 6, verse 20. Mark chapter 6, verse 20, this is what it talks about Herod. It says, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Now, do you know who Herod is? He's the one who eventually takes the life of this very John. So you see, he heard the words that John spoke. He was perplexed. He listened, actually, even gladly to hear what he had to say. But in the end, he did not do as he heard. In fact, he was the one who murdered John. Herod saw the godliness of John the Baptist, the way that he lived out his faith, and even gladly heard the message of the coming Messiah, but hearing the word wasn't and isn't enough. There is a response that must happen, a changing within the heart that comes through humility and repentance and turning towards God. So don't just be a hearer of the word. As you're here today, let this not just be a message that you listen to on one day out of the week and then you go about your days. Let this be what it is, the word of God, that should do something in you, that should make you have change in your life. Not because you're forcing it, but because you're opening up your heart and humbling yourself to say, God, I want to live how you want me to live. Change me, mold me, let me live in the way that you have called me to live. I don't want to just keep saying I'm a believer. I don't want to just keep saying that I live for God. I want to actually do that. And when you actually are living for God, and I'm sure all of the believers here can confess, those are the times when you feel most free, the most peace. Because that's what we're meant to be doing all along. So let this word impact your life. There's the truth about God's word that's not just words on a page. It's living. It's given to us by God. It's good for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. There's purpose to the teaching of the word of God. Don't just hear and go. Hear and do the word of God. So James continues by giving an illustration and it's quite comical if you think of it, he looks at his face in the mirror and then he goes and forgets what he looks like. Verse 23, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." Now, why does he use this analogy? What I believe James is trying to tell us here, okay, you know, who here looks in the mirror in the morning? Let's just get a show of hands. Okay, I'm pretty sure all of us, they come standard in bathrooms now, okay? So if you haven't raised your hand, you're like brushing your teeth and going to the bathroom like this, okay? If you've seen the mirror, you know what your face looks like. So what is James talking about that you see your face in the mirror and then you walk out the bathroom door and then you're like, what do I look like? Well, the Word of God has a very real effect on those who are receiving it. Now, when I study the Word, and hopefully when I'm preaching the Word, there are times where God shows and reveals something to us about ourselves. Something that deals with desires that take us away from the Lord. Something that reveals perhaps sin, priority that is apart from God, whatever that may be. And perhaps in those times when you see the depths of your selfishness and the deceit of self, where you're actually saying, I live for the Lord, but you're actually living for yourself, when God reveals that to you, that is like God showing you a mirror and saying, this is actually how you are. This is who you are. And when we see ourselves in the midst of our sin, our brokenness, the things that take us away from Him, there is something that we can do. We can walk off and say, well, I saw all of that, but I'll save that for another day. I'm going to just keep on living how I'm living. Or you can see what God reveals to you because His Word is living and active. It does cut through even to the bone and marrow. You can respond in repentance and saying, God, thank you for showing me what I look like. I don't want to forget this, but when I see this, you know who I remember? Christ and His grace in my life. You see, too many people get uncomfortable when they see their own wickedness or they see their own sin or selfishness. We almost don't want to believe, that's not really me. I'm a pretty good guy. I open doors for people. I smile. I don't really get into fights. I keep the peace. I never hit anyone. It's all I keep those things to myself. But God doesn't call us to rationalize and justify our own way of living. He says, this is the Word of God. Now do the Word. So how will you respond? Even right now, perhaps God is convicting your heart and saying, you haven't been living your faith. You've been too caught up in relationship with friends, significant other, finances, whatever it might be, success, even your children. You've just been too consumed with all these things, and He's wanting to show you, He wants you to live for Him, for His glory first. That is your priority as you take care of your children, as you work hard, as you go to school, as you do all these things, that He is the focus. His glory is the purpose. So what will you do? How you respond? It's like looking in the mirror. Remember that. Go to God with that, and He'll change you. He'll challenge you. He'll give you conviction, even if it's uncomfortable to go His way. Believe me that there's real power when we remember God. There's real strengthening and peace when we choose God first to go His way. We have to learn to discern the desires of our hearts. And that's one of the greatest things that happens when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He reveals the depth of our brokenness, but he shows us that he covers over that depth as far as it may go with his grace. When we experience that, when we get into his word and we see that being revealed again and again, man, it does something in us. So don't just be hearers of the word. Don't just keep it at face value. Well, these are stories and narrative and commands. No, they point to someone who wants the best for your life. A Father in heaven who we must remember at all times. So let's apply the truth of the word. Let's be doers of the word and not just hearers. Second group we're going to look at are those who hear the word and do what it says. Those who hear the word and do what it says. Let's go ahead and look at verse 25. It says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." If any of you guys are on social media, you know, there's a hashtag, you know, that was super popular for a while, and what is hashtag blessed, right? Blessed. You know, it's like, oh, I see the sun, hashtag blessed. Happy birthday, hashtag blessed. Oh, I got that job, hashtag blessed. And you just kind of throw that hashtag and this word blessed all around when you receive things that are good, when things kind of go in your way. Ooh, I'm blessed. But I'll tell you right now, being blessed in doing according to the word of God, it may not always bring you to those nice filtered Instagram pictures. Sometimes doing as the Lord calls you to do might bring you to places where you're no longer having a job. It may bring you to places where you have to go against the grain of culture in order to actually do what the Word of God says. Where people might call you out as some kind of bigot, homophobe, extreme, conservative, all different kinds of labels that are nowadays very much placed upon those who say, I want to follow the Lord and what the Word of God says. But I promise you, when you stay rooted in the Word of God and you follow Him and you depend on Him, you will be blessed in your doing. That's the real blessedness, that no matter what the world might say or culture might try to drive in us, the Word of God is what we stand upon. And so do the Word. See the authority that God has placed into His Word. Don't go away from it. Don't pick and choose the spots that you think most relate to you. Look at the Word of God and who He reveals Himself to be, and now live in such a way that is in response to that. In John chapter 13, verse 17, it says this, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. There is a connection. There is a connection with genuine faith and response in active obedience. So James continues on with this illustration of that man who forgets what he looks like, but instead decides to simply describe the one who is the doer of the word. One thing that I want us to talk about is this idea of looking into the perfect law. Looking into this perfect law. If you, again, look in verse 25, the law of liberty, right? The perfect law, the law of liberty. Now, what does that mean? To look into the word of God, to know who He is and who you are in Him, it actually frees us up to live as we were made to live. That's why I believe it's the law of liberty. Sometimes when we think about law, we think about law as constraining. It keeps us from doing things. But the law of God, when we study it, when we know it, when we do it, we actually get the law of liberty, which frees us. It's not a burden. Christian faith is not a burden. It's liberating because we're no longer living for ourselves and for the things of this world that fade away, but we're living for God. We're living for God in the way that we were called to live. And I believe that we have to learn to look into the perfect law. We have to take the time to actually look into it. Now, the word here for look, in the English, it doesn't really come out as clearly as it does in the Greek. The word in the Greek is parakipto, okay? And now the translation for that is actually to take the time to examine carefully. It means to stoop down, to examine, to look further. The same verb is used in John chapter 20, verse 11, when Mary looks intently into the tomb of Jesus to see whether he is there or not. It's not simply like a glance and then you're on your way. It's taking a look, examining carefully. You know, when we were on this mission trip, you know, we were sleeping in cabins and we were in the mountainous area. And there was a lot of different wildlife. And to share a little bit about myself, and you might call me a little bit of a nerd, but I really enjoy studying insects, or I used to. In fact, when I was a little kid, being Korean-American, we'd eat a lot of kimchi. And you know, kimchi comes in these big glass jars. And so after you finish those glass jars, you have the perfect bug container. So I'd fill those things with dirt, go around picking up all kinds of insects and putting them in, taking care of them. Well, when we were on this mission trip, there were all these kind of moths that were around. And not just small moths. I mean, some of these were like huge moths. Now, I kind of had a choice. I knew that they were some kind of moth. And the difference between moths and butterflies actually is when moths are sitting, their wings sit flat, right? Butterflies, their wings stand vertically when they're sitting. Okay, just a little information in case you guys care. So I was like, these are moths. Now I had the choice. I could have left it at that. Oh, cool, there's some moths around here. But I took the time to stoop down, actually pick some of them up. And these things were pretty big. You'll probably see some pictures when we post some pictures from the trip. But I held it in my hand. And some of the kids that were on the mission trip, they all kind of gathered around. And I said, let's look at the patterns on the wings. Look at its eyes. Look at its antennae. And we looked at that moth. And then, you know, with handy-dandy Google, we figured out what species it was. And in our time there, we saw four different types of moths. We saw a Luna moth, which is this green one with really cool, like, pattern on its back. It almost makes it look like a man with a mustache. I wish I had the picture. We saw an imperial moth. We saw a rosy maple moth. And we saw a Polyphemus moth. All you guys are like, "What? Why is this guy talking about this?" Well, I took the time to carefully examine each moth. I could have just said, "Well, there's some moths," and been on my way. But then I wouldn't have gotten to see each moth and its unique, you know, some of these patterns are amazing. The Polyphemus moth, like, it doesn't look like much, but when you actually open up its wings a little bit, underneath there's these two circles and this like rich blue kind of sapphire looking color. If I had just walked on and just glanced and been on my way, I wouldn't have been able to see all these awesome things. But I think that's the way that we treat the Word of God sometimes. We hear something, we read something, and we just take a glance, and we say, "Well, I did my time. I'll be on my way now. I did my reading for today." But I wonder if there will be so much richness that we are missing out on. Because we don't look at the Word of God in such a way that we marvel and wonder and say, "Man, what am I going to get to see next? What hidden thing is there about this passage maybe that I've heard of 100, 1,000 times, what is there that God wants to speak into my life through this word? And I wonder how many of us are just kind of glancing through life and not taking the time to be intentional, to examine carefully the word of God. And I want to encourage us as a church. I want us to be careful examiners of the word of God. I want us to get into it and be excited to see what God wants to speak into our lives. I want us to see things and hear things, but then be empowered by the Holy Spirit that is in each of us, if we are believers, to actually do the things. Do them. Live in such a way that glorifies God. Live in such a way that it's not about you, but it's all about Him. In every scripture, in every passage, there's something that God wants to speak into our hearts. Something that points to Christ, who died for us and rose again, who offered us eternal life by His grace. We have to learn to stoop down, get into the Word. You know, I imagine, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I'd dig through the dirt. And I was excited to see what I might find. Some roly-polies, ants, slugs, snails, earwigs, all sorts of things. If I just looked at the dirt and said, hey, there's some dirt, I'd have never found some of those insects. Get into the Word. Get in there. Enjoy it. Be curious. I don't care how long you've been a Christian for. The Bible can still speak to you. The gospel should still speak to you each and every day. Allow it to do so. Go with a humble heart. Ask God for the eyes to see and for the ears to hear, but then for the heart conviction to go and do. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, look at that deep abiding. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It'll set you free to live life being lavished by His love and grace. It'll free you to love your family well, to be slow to anger, to be slow to speak. It'll give you integrity at work, to do your best for the Lord and what He's called you to. It'll free you to be who you are as a forgiven child of God. So let's be blessed in doing. Not for the sake of doing, but we are blessed in doing when we truly do for the Lord. Luke 11:28 says this, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Let's be doers of the word. Let's let it impact every single part of our lives. Let's get into it each and every day. Study it on your own. Make the time to do it. And for all the parents here, children see how we live our lives. Children see what we do and what we spend our time doing. I challenge you to think on that. What are your children learning about the doing in your life? Is it a doing that leads them to the Lord? Or is it something that takes them away? Whatever might take them away, pray and ask God to change your doing by changing your heart so that they too will grow to see what it means to be blessed in doing. Let's make an impact in those around us, in this community, in our workplaces, in our schools, that they too one day might know our Lord and that the word would cut through into their hearts. And they would also know what it means to be truly blessed in doing because they know the Lord, our God. Let's pray together. Let's just take a moment to pray in response. I always like to give a little bit of time to pray in response to the Word of God because I've just held up a mirror to you. Hopefully you were looking. And so what did you see in the mirror today? What did the Word of God reveal to you about your heart? Some area of your life that you haven't turned over to the Lord, perhaps. Something that you've been struggling with in your life, perhaps. Some bitterness or anger or frustration with God, perhaps. Whatever it might be that God has shown you in the mirror of His Word, would you bring those things to Him right now? God wants you to be blessed in your doing, in your living. And He wants to empower you to be free to do all that He has called you to be. If you turn to Him, He will not forsake you. If you turn to Him, He will wrap you up in His arms, give you His grace, pick you back up and say, "Now go and live and do as I have commanded. Abide in My word." Maybe it's something just simple as, "I need to read the Bible more. My goodness. I've just been walking by it." Maybe it's even on your desk. It's gathering dust. And God's saying, "You need to read the Bible more." Not because it's a task that I have for you, but because I want you to know more about Me. Because the more you know about Me, man, your life is going to change and you're going to experience things that are so powerful and real. A peace that only I can give to you. So make a commitment even as you pray. Maybe He's challenging you. Just read the Bible a little bit if you can each day. Just pray just for a moment and then I'll close us. Lord, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You that it is living and active. We thank You that it is good for teaching, training, for reproof. Would You help us as a church to be deep in Your word? That we would learn to take time and go deep in what You have for us. May we be a church that is blessed in doing, because we are doing with a heart that is set upon You. Lord, strengthen those of us here who maybe have not been living for You. Remind them, God, that it is not a performance-based faith that we have, a performance-based salvation that we have, but the salvation is given freely for those who repent and believe. And now, God, You challenge us to live our lives in light of that truth. So help us to be filled with Your word, and to live out Your word and be blessed in our doing. We thank You. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.